break yourself, fool!
We're back for another episode of the Jackson Reaction Podcast. I'm Gene Jackson along with
Rosie Jackson,
who has had a week to recover from her surgery. So how are you feeling compared to a week ago when we last recorded?
Well, if we're going in percentages, I'd say I'm probably 80% better this week than I was last week. Because last week was pretty miserable. I felt like I was down to like 5% of my life, and then now I feel back like I'm back about 80-85%. So
well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You probably weren't any more than that prior to surgery. So.
No, I was pretty miserable before surgery, but, you know, it's I don't know, I just feel better. It's like I've slept better, I've rested better, and it's been better so far.
Which is a combination of recovering from the surgery, not being as sore, and the fact that you got a new CPAP mask plays a big part in your sleeping.
Yeah, the CPAP mask especially, because that one I had before was just pitiful. I mean, pitiful.
It was literally held together by masking tape for the last several months. So.
Yeah, it couldn't hold it anymore. I kept trying to patch it back. It wouldn't work. So, and as cheap as they are now, I mean, why wouldn't I have just got one like 6 months ago? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, but you didn't. I thought we were going to have to get you a GoFundMe or something for that CPAP mask.
I know.
All right, so I told you you could come up with whatever topic you want to talk about this week, so I'll let you just take off.
Okay. Well, you know, since I've been feeling better, I decided this weekend to get out and go see my dad in Gadsden. And I noticed something kind of disturbing. As, you know, me and Dad are riding around, he says to me, he says, "Hey, I want to go over to Big Lots, see what they have. I ain't been over there in a while." So we travel over to the other side of Gadsden. And we get over there, and it's empty. It's moved. It's actually not moved. It's closed down. Just shut down. Okay? And apparently this wasn't something that was announced. It just happened. So I noticed that a lot of places are starting to do that. You know, you have a lot of restaurants, businesses. You know, of course, we had the episode on the Blockbuster. You know, that's a thing that was relevant at one time. You know, I mean, it's kind of sad that you see things like that, but I don't know, the saddest thing that hit me was when we were walking around in Target the other night, and we were going through the electronics section, and I noticed that the CD section is, like, down to, like, 5 CDs, and, like, I remember when I was a kid, you had the record stores, you had Camelot Music, well, of course, you had FYE, and, you know, some of those are still open. I think the one in the Gadsden Mall is still open.
Yeah, there's a handful of them.
But there's not many. They're, like, on their last leg out, and I think the only reason that they do so well now is because they carry the T-shirts, the Funko Pops, and they have a big variety of music and movies.
Yeah.
So, but they're slowly, you can tell that the last time we went in one, there wasn't many people in there. And I think that's because the novelty of what you could buy in those stores is now available to everybody online. And that's a really sad thing to see happen. Because, you know, when we were kids, like, we came up from when it was an 8-track.
Yeah.
You know how awesome that was?
Yeah. Awesome's one way to put it, I guess. So
sometimes you would pop it in. It was this big, god-awful, looked like a brick. You pop in the 8-track player. And I even remember when we had... Like, we had vehicles that had slots for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, you'd pop it in, sometimes it would work, sometimes it wouldn't, and sometimes you wouldn't push it in all the way, and you'd have to jam it in there.
And it had, like, tracks. Like, there were so many songs on each one, so it's like, it wasn't even like a cassette where you could just fast forward or rewind to the one song you want to hear.
You had to listen to it.
You had to hit the button and it cycled through. I think it kept like 3-4 songs to each track, so you had to wait till it came up. You know, there was no way to skip ahead. Its mercy.
And then, you know, then from the greatness of the 8-track, you know, we had the cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember, you know, you'd get like single cassettes and you had side A and side B. And, you know, side A would be, like, the greatest pop song ever. And then side B would be, like, some other song that they had. You know, probably wasn't that good, but they had to put it on a cassette. But you essentially paid close to the price of what the full cassette was.
A full cassette was anywhere from $7.99 to $9.99. And a single was, like, what, $3.49
or something
like that?
About half, I guess. You know, but you're paying for two songs for that. That was crazy.
You really were only paying for one, because that B-side song was always crap. Or their other favorite thing to do was just the instrumental of whatever the song was on side.
And I never understood that even as a child when I would get those. I'd be like, okay, so like I got the New Kids on the Block, and I got the You Got the Right Stuff on one side, then I have the just on the other side. Like, really? What am I going to do with that?
Well, you know, I guess that was pre-karaoke machine days, where you couldn't just cut those words out of songs if you wanted to.
Well, that's true.
If you want to go for the talent show that year, if you wanted to sing right stuff, then you just use the instrumental.
You just use the instrumental version, but, I mean,
that's a whole other show, talking about old school talent shows.
I miss the mixtapes. I mean, that was my thing back in the day, man, because mixtapes, you would stay up all hours trying to get these songs, especially in the 10 at 10 or 9 at 10 at 9 or whatever. And you'd have to, like, fast forward, just kind of sit there, wait for the DJ just to get to the very end of what he was saying before he popped the two buttons down to record. And half the time, your mixtape would have half the DJ, next coming up is...
I would say, there was always those assholes that I think did it for that very purpose, who would talk into the intro of the song and then cut in before the song was completely over.
That
was number 7. You know, oh, you asshole. And if they did it too much, you just have to try to catch the song. You had to just record over it, catch the song again.
I can't tell you how many mixtapes. I probably have some still at Dad's. Like, I had the really funky looking pop mixtapes.
Yeah.
That had the different colors and the, you know, they were crazy. I think you had to pay like $10 for two of them or something.
Yeah.
But I had a bunch of those, and I mean, I used to constantly record over, and you could hear where I would rewind and not rewind enough, and then record, and it would cut over a song, and they're all jacked up. But that was just the greatest thing back in the day.
Yeah, there were a couple different songs you could hear me go crap at the end of it, where I didn't cut it off in time.
Exactly.
And what's weird is there's a few songs that I recorded like that and had the DJ talking in. And, like, now I can hear that on, like, XM or something, and I almost expect to hear that right at the end, because I always heard the song that way for years and years and years.
Yeah. I know there's one mixtape out there I have somewhere, and like I said, it may be at Dad's, where you can hear me talking.
Yeah.
Over the, like, Mom had come in and was asking me something. I'm like, I don't know.
Shh.
I don't know. And I forgot it was recording, and you can hear me arguing with her. And it's like playing it. If I played that back now, I'd just die laughing because
those old things, when you hit record, it was recording through the mic as well. So
yeah.
You had to be, it wasn't just going to record the radio. It was recording through the microphone as well. Because I would tell my mother before I go listen to the top 8 at 8. I'm like, look, I'm gonna be recording, you know, a song. Don't come knock on the door or something. And inevitably that would end up happening. And then you, like you said, you'd get the song with it. Shh, hold on, shh, it's recording. Over, you know, the last part of, you know, Billy Ocean or whatever crap was on the radio.
I don't know. We've come a long way since then. And to think that there's people that we interact with every day that they don't know that this was the way it was.
Because they just go on their phone right now. And at the very least, even if you aren't downloading, at the very least, you just pull up YouTube on your phone. You can listen to any song on earth, just about. You know, I mean, like, it's accessible. There's any song that pops in your head right now as we're sitting here, you, even if you couldn't download it and own it or have it for later, you at least can Google it and pull it up and listen to it right now. There's not a single song you couldn't do that to.
That's true. I mean,
if we wanted a song, we had to either wait for it to come on the radio and record it, or like you said, we had to go to the mall, go to Camelot Music, pay $9-$10 for it, or if it's a single, pay $3 or $4. You know, it's... People, they don't know how good they got it these days. But then to think back real quick, though, we're talking about mixtapes. That was the initial. You had the jam box. You waited for it to come on the radio, and you recorded it. You tried to record them in order of how you want to listen to them. But when those dual-deck stereos became affordable...
Oh, God, yeah.
It was the greatest thing of all time. Like,
yes.
You were the shit then. Because you could just take those things and, you know... borrow your friend's tape.
Yep.
You know, y'all swap tapes. Hey, I got this one. I got this one. You swap out five or six tapes, and you come home that night and put them in the dual deck. And you're like, yeah, shit, you might as well be a professional DJ at that point. I mean, you got it. No talking, no cutting the end. Because they would do that, too. They would cut the song off before it was over a lot of times.
Yeah, because they knew back then most people were recording that shit, and they wouldn't want to pay for it.
Bastards.
So, I mean, I think that was before such a thing as the royalties they pay now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you think, okay, we had that was our technology back then. And at that point, that was the highest technology. Then came the laser disc.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you only had like a handful of friends. Their parents were rich enough to afford a laser disc player.
I didn't even have any friends that had one. I just saw them in the store.
I had a friend that actually had one. And her mom and dad had like two laser discs. That's all they had. But it was like, you got to come over and see our laser disc player. And we thought it was the greatest thing ever. And it's like, what do you got to play on it? Oh, we got Billy Ocean. And we have the Doors. What? That's not cool.
And then they'd have like two movies.
And two movies, yeah.
Well, we can watch Top Gun 78 times.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just funny. And then from that, the compact disc. And I remember when those came out, I thought, oh my God, this is a game changer right here, man. Compact disc, CD.
You remember they came in the big cardboard boxes?
Yes, the big cardboard boxes made them huge.
A foot tall to sit in the...
Exactly. And then so, like, I remember when, I think it was FYE, because we had that in the mall after Camelot died and went away.
Yeah.
And they had set up where you could scan the CD, and they had earphones, and you could press a button and hear all the tracks to see if you liked it before you bought it. I totally loved that, because before that happened, you just bought a CD, and you look at it and go, okay, it's got 10 songs.
I like that one song.
I don't know what half of these are, but that one's good, so, yeah, I'll get it, It's kind of like that cowboy. I got a Cowboy Mouth album, and that's the people that sung Jenny Says.
Yeah.
The rest of the CD sucks ass. I mean, that is a sucky CD, but that one song is why I bought that CD and paid like $15 for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when that came out and you could listen to CDs, that was like that was a game changer for me.
That was the thing about FYE. If you didn't buy it used, you paid a premium for fucking CDs.
Oh, shit, yeah,
there.
You did.
You better hope you can find it in that U section over there.
And then when they started sticking all the explicit labels on stuff, it just made it, oh my God, it made it harder to get stuff. When as a teenager, you had to go get somebody to buy it for you.
Yeah.
You had to scan it. Are you 18? Well, hell no, I'm not 18, but I was listening to that when I was 16, so what does it matter? you know, I don't know. It's just technology's changed so much. And then to think now I've got a phone and I pay for Apple, like $9 a month for Apple Music, and I get literally everything Apple has to offer as far as iTunes. That's new, just now came out. That's hear it before it comes out. That's every CD of anybody I could possibly want. But now, granted, there are a few things that are not on Apple Music.
Yeah.
One being the band Tool. Their albums are not on Apple Music. I find that weird, but I don't know if that's because they don't want to buy into that. Or maybe if that's some licensing problem.
I'm sure that's what it comes down to.
And I've noticed that they take albums, like I have the David Bowie 1974 Low album, and I had the original one on there, but now I can't access it because they came out with a remastered version.
Yeah.
Well, that's all fine and dandy. I like remastered stuff. The Nine Inch Nails remastered, whatever album, is really, really good. I like it remastered. It was really awesome. But David Bowie's Low album is not good remastered. And I would like to have the original 74 version back. But I can't because, you know, it's on iTunes. So
that's when you have to go to Tupelo, Mississippi to Rockstar Records and buy it from Leslie E. Jones.
That's right.
Turntables and records. And now he's even got cassette tapes. So if you're in North Mississippi... go check out Rockstar Records.
And see, I find this funny that this is making a comeback this way. You know, we get to this technology where it's so easy and it's so accessible and it's cheaper, in a way, to access everything in thousands that you want. But now you've got stores like Leslie's who do very well selling vinyl and cassettes and, you know, record players. And it's like, okay, you know, the sound of vinyl... I got to give that to you. I mean, that's some high def. That's some good stuff if you got a good record player. And there's a lot of albums that you can hear that you've heard a thousand times over. You go get the vinyl version of it, man, you'll love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it is tremendous.
You're selling nostalgia. I mean, it's just like the people like us who get the wild hair to go buy the original Nintendo and play the games. Obviously, PlayStation 4 games, Xbox One, those games are far superior and much better games. They're going to keep you entertained longer. But it's just that nostalgia factor of playing these newfangled games doesn't remind you of playing, you know...
It ain't no Legends of Zelda.
Legends of Zelda on a regular original Nintendo. And just like you listening to, you know, these old albums on iTunes, they sound great. They can sound like you're there, but it doesn't give you that same feeling. Those crackling, you know, some songs, that's what you relate to them, that old school sound, that feel, you know.
I don't know. I guess it's because we're getting older. I start thinking about more things like that. And then I work with a coworker who's 25 that reminds me how old I am some days. Because, like, we were had a discussion at work and somebody had brought up 8-tracks. And she said, "What's that?" And I had to explain to her what an 8-track was. And at first I wanted to go, "Oh my God, you're so stupid. How could you not know what an 8-track is?" But then I had to think, wait a minute. She's 25. She never had to experience what an 8-track is.
There's no reason she should.
She came up in the time you had digital. You already had MP3s and MP4s and all that shit.
She caught the tail end of CDs, much less fucking 8-tracks.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I just we're coming into a time more that you're in. What do you call it? You're in an environment with these younger people, and so they kind of, you know, they look at you like, "Oh God, you're a dinosaur because you experienced stuff so old-fashionedly." But yet, it's like, you know, they, on the other hand, are going back to the old-fashioned because they never got to experience it.
You know, we've talked about this in various forms and on several old episodes, but, you know, our age, our generation, really came in at the crossroads of all the new technology coming in, but still having, you know, we experienced records, 8-tracks, rotary phones, no internet.
Oh, God, the rotary phone, man.
Four channels on television to watch.
Do you know how shitty it was to try to call somebody on the rotary phone? You'd hit the one and have to go all the way around. It'd have to go all the way around. And then you'd go 2, and then 5, and the 6, and I mean, it would literally take like 10 minutes to dial somebody up.
But compared to, you know, picking up and saying, "Sarah, give me Mount Pilot," like the Andy Griffith Show, that to them was... To dial your own number, to them, that generation was like, "Holy crap, we cut out the operator. We just dial the number. This is amazing. What could ever be better than this?" You know? So our generation experienced a wider range of technology or lack thereof than perhaps any other, generation, because we were old enough to take part in all. I mean, like, your dad obviously has experienced more than we did, but a lot of it he didn't give a shit about, you know.
Well, and like, even now, dad, you know, is just, like, he still calls texting, faxing. He'll say, you know, if I'm texting over there, he'll say, "Who you faxing?" And I'm like, looking at him like he's crazy. I'm like, no, this is texting, Dad. Totally different concept. You know, it's like, he had a fax machine at the shop.
Yeah.
And it was like, he thought that was the most amazing thing, that somebody somewhere not near you could dial a number, send you something on a piece of paper, blank piece of paper you put in, it printed out. He was like, "Holy crap." Every time somebody did it, he thought it was the most amazing thing ever.
Like it was some weird magical
box, you know. I mean, and that's just funny because Dad's 83, you know, and I mean, he's seen way more than we could ever see, but he's seen it in a simpler version, and now... It's like, if I gave him a laptop, he'd just look at me. He'd probably be like, "He don't even know how to turn one on."
Yeah.
You know? And it's not because he's stupid. It's not because he couldn't learn it. It's just they didn't have to have stuff like that. They did things just as good as we did, if not probably better, without the technology.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... When you think back through our lives, you know, like say, you know, we experienced all that from the, you know, four channels on TV up to, you know, satellite dishes and then,
them satellite dishes.
That's
them big ones. You had the big old dish outside, the big gigantic dish. I mean, big dish. And
somebody
had the box
turned straight up in the air. You knew what they were in the house doing.
Exactly, because they had the box, had the big dial on it, and you had to just tune it in to a certain... But like whatever it was, I can't degree it or something.
Yeah.
Oh God, that was bad. That was bad.
And then, you know, a time when Atari was the most advanced video game. Commodore 64 was, you know, an amazing computer.
I thought
the big floppy disk.
I had the Commodore 64, and I did too. I thought it was pretty freaking awesome. Now, granted, you had to learn DOS to use Commodore 64, and I find that funny because my first real career was as a loan officer, and the computer software we had to use was Maestro Banking software, which uses DOS features.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I started, I already knew how to use that, and they were just the people I worked with was amazed, and I'm like, it's because I got a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
You know, but now computers, you have to use some of the DOS stuff with Apple products.
Yeah.
The commands and the, you know, shifts and whatnot, but like PCs now, like your Windows, you never have to do that hardly.
No.
I mean, you could if you wanted, it would still work, but why do that when you gotta, you just click, ta-da.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of takes that out.
I don't miss that.
Nah.
I don't think I'll ever get a nostalgia for DOS. I'm like, man, you know, let's go play some games via DOS. I know you got a soft spot for Oregon Trail, but
man, Oregon Trail. I still play Oregon Trail. I do. I love it. Especially, I giggle every time I die dysentery. Every time. And I always name them goofy names like Billy Joe Bob. Billy Joe Bob got bit by a snake. He's got to have his leg amputated.
I don't know. I never not laugh when Lane shares that post where he's talking about you go up and you call Terry a bitch or whatever. Terry shoots you. You died of dysentery.
Dysentery. Well, you don't call Terry a bitch.
Yeah.
You don't get shot. So
I know that's not the exact wording of it,
yeah,
but that's the gist of it anyway. And it gets me every time.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm an old school nerd. I mean, most people look at me and they don't know that I'm going to be 40 this year. Because I do look a lot younger than 40.
Yeah.
And so I think it's sad because my coworker who's 25, I think sometimes she forgets that I'm almost 40.
Yeah.
She thinks I'm like almost her age or close to her age. And so she relates to me better than she does most people in the office. And it makes some of the other office people a little jealous.
Forgets that you could be her mom.
Exactly. And so it's like, okay, I'm sorry that I'm a cool old person. I try to understand the new technologies and the old technologies. I kind of incorporate both on a daily basis, so I don't know. I guess that makes me a very well-rounded, cool person to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some stuff now that's out that, you know, like music-wise and movies even, that I just look at and go, oh my God, like, I don't even think our generation smoked crack that hard. But,
yeah.
I mean, and I guess that's the old person in me, like, I mean, like the other day, I had to go tell my boss, could he ask the people in the back not to do duck faces and peace signs in the pictures that we have to send to the insurance companies? I mean, literally, I have this job I'm working on, and this dude just, he's in the picture, and he's in a set of what we call PPE, which is like Tyvek suit, you know,
yeah,
for, you know, biohazard cleanups and whatnot.
Right.
And to get the insurances to pay for those, you have to have one of your people in that, or else they won't pay for it because they can't claim that you used it. So the only picture I have to send to the insurance company is this idiot standing there with a Tyvek suit on, throwing deuces and duck facing. And now he's like probably 23, 24. So I'm like, I know you know better. This is a professional job in a way, and you know that this gets seen by more people than just us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel so terrible to have to go, hey, could you please ask them not to be children and do this?
Now, that brings up something as well that recent generations haven't experienced. Like, in their lifetime, they've known for somebody to be able to take a picture with a digital camera, flip the camera around, look at it. Now, in more recent years, take a picture with the phone. That's what most everybody takes a picture with. You flip the phone around and then look at it. They don't remember a time not all that long ago where you either had a good camera or a disposable camera, but you had some kind of camera.
Oh, my God.
You snapped the picture, and then you had to... Well, okay, let's back up even further than what I was going to say. You had to go drop it in the little box at Walmart, and about 2 weeks later,
yes,
it comes back, and you get a big package
full of messed up pictures. Half of them will be ruined.
Yep, and then you get to see what your photo looked like, and then when we really moved up in the world is when you could go in an hour, and you know, I spent a long time working at Walgreens doing 1 hour photo. And you know, within an hour, then you can see what your picture was. So people were a lot more serious about their picture because you went through a lot of work to get this picture. So not to say people didn't take goofy ones, but you know, there was a lot of people were pretty uptight about how do we look? How do we look? You know, we're standing in the right place and all that, because it was going to be a lot of work to replicate this picture. Now motherfuckers just snap any kind of picture because they take 200 a day, and they all love, like say, is duck faces and peace signs and just dumbassery.
Like, I mean, even in your, like, I mean, it's like in their mind, they don't think that that's the wrong thing to do because they're so used to it. It's yeah. Like, that's just part of the way they are. And as it is humorous, it's not very humorous when you have a professional job. You have to go to them and go, hey, we got to be professional, and that is not professional.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it makes them think, oh, they've done wrong. And in a way, they have, but they weren't really, they haven't been taught any better.
Yeah, I mean, so, well, if you're taking a picture, you know, for yourself or for your Facebook page or whatever, but, you know, you're costing people money goofing off like that. But then, like yeah, I say, they really don't know any other way, because every picture they've ever taken, they've
because here's how this had to have, what we had to do to rectify this. We had to open up another Tyvek suit, which is essentially a $30 Tyvek suit, to get another employee to put on to go stand at some bushes out back so I could take a picture of them in full, you know, gloves, mask. Yeah. Everything, so I could use this picture for us to get credited back $50 on PPE.
Yeah.
So essentially, he cost us the set he had on, the set we had to open, because once they open them, I mean, you're not supposed to open. You open a new one for each job you do, because of the whatever yeah. you're dealing with, you know, mold or you know, biohazards or whatever. And so he essentially ruined a new set and the set he had on because of his, let's throw the deuces and do a duck face.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, if anything, okay, if you're going to do that, then that's fine. And, hey, that's humorous, because that's what you do. Take a serious one and then take one like that. Then I would have had two I could have picked from. Do I want to be stupid and send the insurance company Mr. Deuce and Duck Face, or do I want to send him the dude that's standing there like he's done his job and he knows what he's doing, he's got common sense?
That's true.
You're listening to Locals to Legends Wrestling Radio, brought to you by Rockstar Records, 810 East Main Street, Tupelo, Mississippi, 662-269-3745.
All right, now we're back. So what have you got for us this week, Rosie?
Well, I guess my thought of the week would be, since we've talked so much about age discrepancies and, you know, feeling old sometimes, and maybe people, younger people, not getting old people and old people not getting younger people. I'd say my thought in looking back on the relations I've had in the last couple of weeks with younger people and old people in general, just I think don't be so quick to say, oh my God, they're stupid because they're young and they don't know, or don't be so quick to say they're stupid because they're old and they can't learn, because that's not true. You can be old and learn the new ways, and you can be young and learn the old ways. Equals the same. And I think I found another thing this week was my random dose of knowledge that I'd like to drop was regarding coral snakes. Do you know the difference between a coral snake and a king snake?
I don't. One wears the crown?
No. They look almost the same when you're looking at them, except for their color pattern is a little off.
Yeah.
The saying is, red touches yellow, it'll kill a fella. Okay?
Okay.
Black and yellow, I think it means all attack. So, black and yellow, it's not poisonous, but it will bite the shit out of you. Okay? That's a king snake. Coral snake, red and yellow, pattern together, it will kill you. Don't touch it. So, there we go.
Alright.
Maybe I've saved some lives.
Maybe so. Alright, was that all you got for this week?
Pretty much.
Alright, well, that does it for me too. So we will catch you next week here on the Jackson Reaction Podcast, who knows what we'll be talking about, but you can definitely bet before it's over with, Rosie will drop some useless knowledge on you at the end. Or, like this week, she may tell you something that'll save your life. You just never know, so make sure you don't miss it.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention? My intentions. Ooh, yeah.